In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. For his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water
that yields its fruit in its season.
And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so,
but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ the Lamb who was slain.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O almighty, merciful Lord,
you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all.
Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Philemon, beginning at the first verse. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
Come, follow me, the Savior.
The sermon this morning is based on the reading, especially based on the reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, but I will also refer to the other readings. To start, I reread Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a teaching through many narratives in the Old Testament and certainly in the New Testament, with Jesus as being the very Word of God, that God's Word is close to us. God's Word is close to His people. This reading from Deuteronomy 30, it's towards the end of the book, and the book itself is a collection of some sermons, teachings that Moses gave. And to really understand what he's teaching here well, it's important to remember the context. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. He had called him out of his father's place where he had grown up, and he had called him to move with his family and all his people to Canaan. And God called Abraham to continue to listen to him, not just to move to Canaan and forget about him, but to continue to listen to God and for his descendants to continue to listen to God. Those descendants listened to God fairly well, not always. We see some sinning among his descendants. But during that time of famine, Jacob and his sons moved to Egypt. And while they're in Egypt, they increased. And the scriptures say the Pharaoh, no longer in Exodus 1, the Pharaoh no longer remembered where Joseph and his family, how important they were or how powerful Joseph was. And they were gradually made into slaves. And God then redeemed his people, bought back his people out of slavery from Egypt with the 10 plagues, crossing the Red Sea, gathering at Mount Sinai. Now at Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapters 19 through 24 and longer, they received the covenant through Moses. And that covenant included how to live with one another, included the 10 commandments, but it included more than that. It also included how they were supposed to treat one another, how they were supposed to treat the stranger, how they were supposed to treat the widow and the fatherless. And also, it included the sacrifices. For God knew they would sin. So when you sin, then you would offer this sacrifice or that sacrifice. And yearly, there would be a day of atonement for all the sacrifices of the people. These were the rules and statutes given to Moses that the people should follow in. All those things. So now, in Deuteronomy, towards the end of Moses' life and ministry among the people, soon he will die, and the leadership will be taken up by Joshua. Now he tells the people in sermons recorded here how they need to continue to live. God had made a promise to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had kept them safe through a great famine. The whole family moved to Egypt. Then they became slaves. And God now has called them out, and Moses has led them for 40 years. And Moses says to them, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, what I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, all these things that he's given us, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Does that mean that they would be perfect and have to be perfect and obey like the Ten Commandments perfectly? They should obey the Ten Commandments, but when they did not obey, when they sinned, there were sacrifices that they were supposed to do. And there were festivals of the Lord to walk in his ways and keep his statutes and rules. So what Moses is saying is not just be good and you will be blessed. He's saying everything that God has given you, the Ten Commandments, the law is yes, but also how to treat one another and also to make these sacrifices for forgiveness. Keep in all these things and you will be blessed. In the bulletin, I also wrote on the green notes the verses right before these verses, verses 11 through 14. Moses said to them, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." And he continues, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil." God is not unknown to us. His will is not unknown to us. It was close to the people at Moses' time. They had these teachings with them. And we have Christ and the revealing of the new covenant with us today. It is not far from us. If we are confused by about what's going on in our life or tragedies or movements, whatever is going on, are we paying attention to what's right in front of us? His word, how to live, his ways of forgiveness. It's not far. It strikes me that Moses said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." I'm sure what has gone on in all of the history of humankind, but certainly we see it going on today, is people will say, "What is good and bad? And that, okay, the good thing I will do and the bad thing I won't do." And so then the question is, who gets to choose what is good and bad? And people decide themselves to choose this is good, this is bad. And so that is the way the world lives. The world does not say what leads to life and what leads to death. That is what God is concerned about, is life. That his people will really have life, which means they need to be with him and walk in his ways and receive his forgiveness. Life. It's not that that way is bad. That's not the first description of it. Is that way is death. That way is death. So the scriptures always, they want us to think about our life with God. Means to walk in his ways, but our life with God. He's given us life. We don't make ourselves alive. We don't do something to become alive. We have life with God, and there is a way of living. If we do anything else, it's not just bad. Yeah, you can say it's bad, but it's death. It's death. And God doesn't want death for his people. He wants life for his people. Life and death. That's what is set before us. This is what Psalm 1, the psalm we had for our intro today, is talking about. Psalm 1, the head of 150 psalms, says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Because there is life. And I've said it once and I've said it many times. Law here is Torah. Includes law, like Ten Commandments, but includes at least the first five books of Moses. That means also the teachings of Moses and the sacrifices that Moses gave from God. All these things, you meditate on them, then we are blessed. But if we go away from them, then we're the wicked and the scoffers. And we don't have life. It's life and death. This plays out in a lot of ways in our lives. The last couple verses and the first verse of the reading from Philemon were not assigned. And I said, it's only a few verses more. Let's just read the whole book. It's a short little book. So we read the whole thing. Did you catch what's happening there? Onesimus owed some money and ran away from Philemon. And they're both Christians. And Onesimus ran to Paul, and Paul's in jail. And Paul writes back to Philemon and says, I don't want to command you, I want to appeal to you. Everything Onesimus owes, I will pay back. Receive him back. What Paul is putting before Philemon is the decision, am I going to hold Onesimus to the human accounts? Am I going to hold him guilty of what he still owes me or what he's done? Or, as Paul says, am I going to receive him as a brother in Christ? Even what he's paid, Paul is going to pay. He owes me nothing. In fact, we're brothers in Christ. And Paul appeals to Onesimus. Paul appeals to Philemon. What will you think, Philemon? What will you think about Onesimus in Christ? Who wants to come back to you? Philemon? Are you going to think as the world? Or are you going to think as Christ? Are you going to go in the world's way of thinking or Christ's way of thinking? Blessed is a man who walks in the law of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord. It's a very specific situation about talking about living as a Christian and forgiving and receiving back and having accounts settled up rather than seeking out revenge and what is owed to me because you owe that to me no matter what. This is what Jesus is talking about if we are his disciples. Do not love yourself more than you love Christ. Do not love anything or anybody more than Christ. Christ is life. Follow his way. It's very stark words. Hating your mother, your brother, your wife, your son, your daughter. Even hating your own life. What is Christ calling us to do? Calling the crowds to do? He's calling them to take him seriously, to take his teaching seriously, to take everything that he talks about above as number one, as priority. Everything else should be second and lower. This is what God is saying in Deuteronomy. There is life and there is death. God has given you life, then yes, you have family and you have a wife and you have all these things in your life and you take care of them. But you follow God and what he says about these things. He is the one who gives you life. Because if you put your wife first, or if you put your family first, or you put your job first, guess what? You don't have life anymore. That's the world's way of thinking. And that, in the end, isn't any good for your spouse, and that's no good for your family, and that's no good for the people at work if you're following them first, and you've forgotten God, because you don't know what death, life is anymore. But with Christ, there is life. And these other things are secondary. But in these other things, we share the life with them. Onesimus could share in the life with Philemon, life in Christ. Moses puts it very simply. There is life, there is death. Which will it be? Christ puts it very simply, there is following me, there is following anything else. Which will it be? Life and death. This is not hard, as Moses says. It's in our heart and in our minds. God's word. Where we find that we make mistakes and we can't make the right decisions, and we won't on our own, God says, but my word is in you. My spirit is in you. Listen to me. Listen to my son. Follow him. Follow him. Jesus reassured us and his disciples. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The way of life is Christ. If we're in Christ, then the wife, the husband, the family, the job, the whatever, can maybe also be in Christ. But if we follow those things before Christ, then where is our life? Where is our way? Where is our truth? Life and death. It's right with us. God's given us his life. He asks us to follow. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for making so plain to us that we are your sons and daughters, that you give us life. And we ask you to lead us and enable us and strengthen us to stay in the life that you have given us. And as you have given us your son, Jesus, help us to listen to his teachings, believe them, stay in them, and repent when we go away from them to come back. We ask you to be with us today, to be with our families. We ask you to be with us tomorrow and all the coming days, that all things may be according to your will and according to the life that you give us in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offering hymn 663. Notice we sing just verses 1 and 5. Congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayers as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For hearts that trust in the cross of Jesus and the price he paid for our salvation, that we would boldly follow in his way through death and into eternal life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people of God to walk always in his way, and receive the blessings he promises in this world and in the world to come. For all pastors, including missionaries Deaconess Cheryl and Pastor Jonathan Nauman, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's institutions of marriage and family, the husbands and wives, parents and children, would be preserved both from despising and from idolizing one another, and that every relationship in the home would exemplify his unconditional love for us in Christ. So all might follow him in their service to one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who bear office in our land, that they would be a blessing to those they serve. For the callings God has given us, that we might render service to him in our works of love toward our neighbor. And for those in need of honest labor and daily bread, that they would earn gainful employment according to his good and gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For fellow citizens serving us in law enforcement, firefighting, emergency and rescue crews, medical care, military service, education, food production, trades, and manufacturing, that they may be strengthened and protected in all their activities. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the strength of the Spirit upon all who are suffering or in any kind of need, especially those who have been asked to remember, Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Carlene, Grace, Sue and Steve, Rick, Jim, Brandy, Maverick, Pastor Jonathan Nauman, Pastor Shivey, Ohio District President Dr. Kevin Wilson, and we remember the family of Willie Hurst and the family of Gail Hesselshort, that they may all be given the courage and will to take up their crosses and follow the Savior through suffering into the joys of life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood today, that they would do so with prepared and penitent hearts, rejoicing in his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, for the sake of Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray, preserve us, O Lord, from all temptation, and grant us faith, that we may rest all our prayers and the desires of our hearts in your merciful arms, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in.
We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. In his praise, tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. One just a brief point of note before we sing our closing hymn. You may have noticed in the prayers was Pastor Jonathan Nauman and Deaconess Cheryl, his wife. I forgot to say who that was at the beginning. I added them. They're very good friends of ours. They are missionaries with the LCMS, and they're doing home service, fundraising, etc. And we get his newsletter. While he's raising funds at a church out in Nebraska, he fell down and broke his leg. So he's been hosting by the pastor there at that church in Nebraska, and he's getting better, healing up his leg. So that's who the prayer was for Pastor Jonathan and his wife, Deaconess Cheryl. We sing our closing hymn, 875.